one of Detroit's most popular so-called middle-of-the-road stations is WXYZ. Program Director Joe Baccarella says this about Detroit radio.
Well, the Detroit market today is probably more segmented than it's ever been. There was a time when there were two or three stations at the top of the heap, and then there was a big separation of ratings, rating numbers, and then it went to the rest of the pack is the way it was. But everybody is going for a certain demographic audience. And you have, you know, you have great stations like WJR who have people like McCarthy and probably one of the better news departments in the city of Detroit. Then on the other end of the spectrum is CKLW with their rock format. And then of course we like to think that we come right in the middle of them. And this is the audience that we program to, not the teens that CK goes after or the over 50s that WJR goes after. We're programming our radio station for the people right in the middle. And we've been fairly successful to this point. However, selfishly, I say I don't think that the WXYZ still has the ratings that we probably should have. And, you know, if I don't say that, I don't know who will, because I have what I think is probably one of the finest staffs assembled.
WXYZ is Joe Baccarella. WCAR shares the MOR, or middle-of-the-road format, in the Motoropolis with WXYZ. And according to CAR Program Director Neil McIntyre, WCAR cares.
There are two phrases that we use with a great amount of regularity have in the last year, and that's WCAR cares about Detroit and its people, and also we care about Detroit. I don't believe that they're just phrases. It's not something we just say and don't actually do. Over the period of the last year, we have spent an awful lot of time on producing public service announcements, PSAs, that hopefully are inventive and will actually cause the public to do something.
Breaking up is so very hard to do.
I don't really know what happened.
It seemed to be about three or 4 years ago.
Just wish we could start over, you know.
Just no longer had the old spark.
To start back 4 years ago before whatever it has happened. I mean,
love's a tough thing to define. But
I know I want to start over.
It just seemed like it wasn't there.
I just wish I could make him want to.
I think we owe ourselves at least another try.
Breaking up is so very hard to do.
Making up can be made easier through Family Services of Detroit. Phone 833-6690.
WCAR cares about Detroit, and you.
There are more people in the radio business in Detroit that are trying to accomplish being the best. Many cities throughout the country, there's one, maybe two radio stations, and then all the rest who have given up. Whereas Detroit is a lot different in that respect. I don't believe there is a radio station in Detroit that is doing something that nobody else is doing. By that meaning that they don't have any competition. I mean, there isn't just one radio station playing top 40 music. There are competitors. There's not just one radio station who is playing what is termed middle-of-the-road music. There's a bunch of them. Now there's more than one radio station doing all news or predominantly talk. So there's plenty of competition in Detroit.
Once upon a time, there was a man who dreamed of a better tomorrow. But each day he spent was like the day before. And all his tomorrows became yesterdays. What do you suppose was missing?
WCAR cares about Detroit, and you.
WCAR personality H.B. Phillips says their station is putting fun back into radio.
I think there is a trend, at least in two stations that come to mind, WCAR and to a lesser extent WXYZ, to put fun back in radio. Now, I think you can recall the radio of yesterday, like WXYZ with Joel Sebastian and people of that clan, where the emphasis was not only on music, but having a lot of fun, too. You could go to a station not only to hear music, but to have a good time. And I think that's what CAR is doing. That's why I'm having a ball working down there. And I'm glad to see that XYZ is doing it. Of course, CK and Keener, they are more or less committed to the Drake format. But it's nice to see at least two stations where the guys have a lot of fun.
Oh, let it shine. That's the Fifth Dimension, Aquarius. Let the sun shine in.
You are listening to WCAR. You've got Detroit turned on.
And how you doing, huh? The old bear's shining in on a Sunday afternoon, night after two. Come on, stick around. I'll be here till 7.
H.B. Phillips. CKLW's Dave Schaefer remembers how Ed Bush, WCAR's all-night host, got into radio in the first place.
I remember the first time meeting Eddie Bush, who's now at WCAR. Eddie came to a... Clark Reed and myself used to be at WJBK, did a thing for an ex-governor in Southgate. And Eddie came up, he was just a kid at the time, and said, I'd like to, you know, go to the record hops with you and I'll play your records. And at the time, I wasn't really making that kind of money to pay somebody else come along and play records. I said, no, kid, I'd rather just do it myself. And he said, I'll do it for free. Well, I was a little hesitant at first, and I said, okay. Well, the first few times he came, I honestly didn't pay him a cent. And then after that, I started feeling guilty, so as I started making a little bit better money, I started giving Eddie better money, and he stayed with me for years. God knows how long that's been now, 10, 12 years. And shortly after that, he got on an FM radio station. He used to do some things there and used to help him out and what have you, and then came a time that he wanted a job up in Flint, and made a few phone calls for him. He ended up with a job up there, then he came to work for a while here at CKLW, and then shortly after that he left and went to Toledo, and now he's back at WCAR.
Dave Schaefer. We talked too with Ed Bush himself about his early days in the business at the now out of business WLIN-FM in Lincoln Park.
I worked for free. I think that's probably my biggest memory. I worked there for a year and a half, and I started when I was 17 years old. And at 17 years old, it used to be all the records you could steal and all the hours you could work. And I remember the disc jockeys. That was before Keener was playing music on Sunday night. So I had essentially a monopoly of rock and roll on Sunday night.
Hi, this is Ed Bush. And this is the swinging Sunday sound of WLIN. Until 12:30, tomorrow morning, it's the swinging sound of the Motor City.
Back then, there was a lot more enthusiasm. More guys seemed to have a stake in the music they were playing, the type of entertaining they were doing on the radio. Today, I'm afraid that most everybody takes it rather casually. They go in, they do 3 or 4 hours of their work, and then they go home. Also, it seemed that more of the guys that were working on the air back at JBK and CKLW to a degree and WKMH and XYZ, they're all rockers, that it seemed the guys were more Detroiters, or they had adopted the town. I can think specifically of guys that are still around here. Mark Avery, Dave Schaefer, who's back at CKLW. Lee Allen, Joel Sebastian has left, but Joel had been here a number of years. All these guys seemed to take a stake in the people that they were entertaining, and consequently they worried more how their show reflected them.
We talked with Ed about what it's really like to work in the nation's fifth largest market, Detroit, Michigan.
It's funny because when you get a job in radio in the fifth largest market, Detroit, in the country, you think, well, you know, I've made it, and I've worked at, you know, at most of the major stations in this market, and you tend to think there's nothing you can learn. I mean, let's face it, you know, you always think, even when you're 12 years old, you're always thinking you know more than your parents. But I have never learned as much as a professional, maybe even personally, than I have in this last year working at WCAR. And that's, you know, maybe sounds like, oh, well, that's what you got to say, you're working there. That's part of the reason I can say it, because there's no pressure like that. I've never worked at a place where the relationship with the boss is so easygoing. I mean, the guy you can talk to, and the guy you can take your personal problems to, the relationship is so superior. Maybe this is because of one man, you know, the program director, Neil McIntyre, but he takes you aside. And before, at a rock station, they'd take you aside. Now, look, you know, you're talking too much, or you walked over, heard it through the grapevine, you know, and you had 8 seconds there.
Runs through a few old memories about Detroit radio, currently with WHFI.
WCAR is the proving ground for every radio announcer in the country. You don't go anywhere in radio unless you started at CAR. I think in the 5 years I was there, I saw 320 people go through the doors. There was Tom Collins, and Tom, last I heard, is hustling pool somewhere. Jack Sanders, who started, he came from Pittsburgh, and now Jack is back in Pittsburgh, out of radio completely. He's in his own business now, doing very well. Joe Baccarella, of course, who, with Joe, that was his second job in radio. He came from WQTE as Danny Murphy, and he went to WCAR as Art Cooper. Then Jim Davis, Dave Lockhart. As a matter of fact, you turn on Wixie, it's like listening to the old CAR. I suppose the reason I finally ended up with afternoon drive time was the fact that I just outlasted everybody. I don't think the boss to this day knows my name. I just sort of walked into the control room and did my show and disappeared every day, and so I was one of the lucky few that never got fired.
Rose said, too.
Another fella that I worked with at WCAR, and I suppose I could name names forever and everybody would recognize the name. But did you know that Jerry Blocker used to do the all-night ride on WCAR? That's right. And Jerry was a wild guy, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. We used to stay up at nights. He's one of the jumpiest disc jockeys you've ever met in your life. Jerry is one of the most professional newsmen I've ever heard. But as a disc jockey, he was always nervous. So we used to do things to get Jerry. And he'd be doing that show on the all-night ride, and we were up in the old Masonic Temple, and it was a creepy old building. And we used to take things like the shavings from record cuttings when you'd cut a record. And that stuff burns like magnesium. And we used to line it in front of him so that he wouldn't be able to see. We'd put it in the news studio behind the glass, and he'd be in the middle of a newscast, and somebody would toss a cigarette and 8 pounds of lacquer foil, and there'd be an explosion in front of him. And if anybody ever listened to Jerry Blocker and wondered why he screamed when he was on the air every once in a while, it was because we were in there messing him up.
Yet another unusual fact from Ron Rose.
WCAR was, as far as announcing is concerned, was one of the best things that ever happened to me because of the exposure. But the funniest thing is that to this day, because of their format, and because you could only mention your name twice an hour, and you really couldn't talk a lot, that a lot of people in Detroit recognize my voice, and I do a lot of commercials in Detroit. I do a lot of commercials out of state, too, and they recognize the voice, but nobody knows the name Ron Rose, and it's so disgusting when somebody says, what do you do in radio? Or they say, gee, you sound like you should be in radio. Your voice sounds familiar. And they say, what's your name? And I say, it's Ron Rose, and they go, oh. They say, well, say a few words, and you say a few words, and then they recognize you. To me, it's always been very deflating to my ego.
What about the recent changes at WHFI, and why did they happen, Ron?
I heard there was something happening at WHFI, that they were going to make a final big push. HFI has been in this market and talked about for years, and it never really crashed through the ratings. It was always here, and it seemed like they were always on the borderline, always close, but they never did it. And they were going to hire guys like Bob Edgington and Conrad Patrick. And, you know, I thought that was the wildest thing I ever heard. And started talking to the people over here, and now I'm program director of HFI. And I think I'm more excited about this than I ever have been anything in my life.
Don't tell me what it's all about.
We're Karen and Richard, and that is a Bacharach and David a combination of songs called... 20 after 9. I don't know what we do at WHFI. This is Bread. Just loafing around. And it's called If. It's a pretty song.
Don Elkorn, WHFI-FM's evening personality. We ask Ron Rose for an evaluation of Detroit radio today.
As far as radio as I see it now, I'm afraid if I talk too much about radio as I see it now, I'd step on a lot of toes. And that's one thing it's not good for a disc jockey to do, or a program director, because you never know. It's a very, you know, this market, Detroit, for as many radio stations as are on the air, and what is it, 28 or 31 stations on the air in this vicinity now, that you can, if you sit home and turn your dial around, you can find about 31 different radio stations that you can pick up on a decent radio. Out of all of those stations, there aren't that many new people that have come into it.
Ron Rose recalls one of his grandest moments in Detroit radio.
Tom Clay was back in the air. He was my idol, and probably most other kids who are now 26 years old as I am. Tom Clay was the end of the world to me, and I'll never forget when he came to W4, and he was going to do 7 to midnight, and I was on the air 3 to 7, the day he was going on, and he was coming back triumphant, going to do the old show he did when he was at JBK. Remember that station, the Big D now? And Tom Clay came in and sat on the side of the console as I was signing out my show, and I thought, holy smokes, I'm on the air doing 3 to 7, and Tom Clay is sitting in front of me waiting to go back on the air for the first time in years in his old time slot, 7 to midnight, and do his own thing. And that's one of the most exciting things I remember. And you know the funniest part about it? To prove that everything changes, it had no effect, and it's disastrous. It had absolutely no effect.
This is WWWW Detroit.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
So, okay, we know what the world needs now. It's love. But how are we gonna get it? You gotta put a little love in your... Good evening. My name is Tom. I'll be here until 12 o'clock tonight. You're probably wondering, some of you, where have I been these past few years? Well, this tells you all about
it. A long and winding road.
Ron Rose of WHFI.
I had been in radio all of my life. I'd actually been on the air since I was 15 years old. And I was, 24, and I just wanted to get out of radio. So I got out. And it was about a year, a little better than a year, I'd been out of radio, and I got a call from Don Barrett, who had taken over as general manager at W4. He said, I'd like to talk to you. And I said, I'm really not interested, because it's a... I don't think I said that. I think I thought I'm really not interested, because it's a background music station, and, it wasn't too exciting to me. But I went down for the interview. And he told me what they were planning on doing, going with a solid gold format. And I thought, gee, that sounds wild. Nobody's done that yet. And so there was a possibility of being program director and all of this stuff, and then I'd be doing my old time slot, 3 to 7 in the afternoon. And I was excited about it, so I went with the station. And about a week later, I was made program director. And we really started getting into it. It was the first time I had a 100% free hand in radio. CAR was a very stifling format, and that you had to watch what you were saying. But at W4, any idea that we came up with that was imaginative or wild or hadn't been done before, we could use it, like the W4 Golden Girl. And it was probably one of the more successful contests in Detroit, because in 10 days we had 600 entries to it. We selected a Golden Girl. She made the newspaper several times. And the station, the ratings from the National Rating Services pretty much speak for themselves. They went up, and the station really turned the town on its ears.
On W4 Stereo, that's your new one. It's a pretty record, don't you think? 20 minutes before 7 o'clock is the time. The name of the disc jockey of the day is Ron Rose. Excuse me.
W4 Stereo, Detroit weather.
Fair and continued warm tonight with a low in the mid-60s, sunny and hot tomorrow with a high of 90 degrees expected. Right after the news with Jim Roberts and ABC, of course, you'll hear Tom Michaels with more gold on W4. I'm Ron Rose. Thanks a lot for being here. Good night.
WWW Detroit presents another hour of greats, oldies, but goodies.
W4 Stereo.
Susan Jackson, the Poppy family, and Which Way Are You Going, Billy, on W4 Stereo 106 at 710 with Tom Michaels on a on a Thursday night, May 21st, 1970.
A fella named Don Z was program director at WHFI up until just a little while ago. He tells us about that station.
So when I joined WHFI, they said, look, do whatever you want to do between records, however, play these records any way you want them, you know, within a very modestly restricted formula. By formula, I mean they would determine what should be played at what time and so on. But he wanted people to do things in between records that would be entertaining, considering bits between records as important as the records that you play. Detroit radio, the FM area, has not truly been exploited in this fashion until WHFI, I think, came along and kicked it off. With some intelligent people, they have had something of this nature happening with other radio stations, but not with qualified personnel. The excitement of radio, when it was really, truly exciting, was in the early 60s, the late 50s, early 60s, when you had the Tom Clay thing happening, when you had, what was it, 10 Freckles Past a Sawbuck? Remember him, huh? when you had people like Freddie Wolf with his dry sense of humor, when you had people like Paul Winter with his classic approach to music, no matter what, if you're playing actually classics or playing rock or middle-of-the-road type music, Ray Anthony or whatever, I think this era was probably the most compelling radio period of the time. It's evolved into a hodgepodge at the moment where I don't think anybody really knows what's happening.
Betty Lou Peterson of the Detroit Free Press had this to say.
I see FM as a larger and steadily growing part of the radio scene. Nowadays, a person who buys a radio, if they don't buy an AM-FM tuner, really is cutting themselves off some quite imaginative programming. FM operations, by and large, are smaller, and they seem to take a few more chances than the larger, more expensive AM operations. There's undoubtedly going to be a place for both of them. The proliferation of FM in the last few years has, well, some of them have come and gone because a lot of people thought it was going to be a gold mine sooner than what it was.
Our thanks to Betty Lou Peterson. We spoke, too, with Jim Curtis, a young DJ in Ann Arbor, about the competitive impact of Detroit radio stations.
Ann Arbor is one of the best communities, in my opinion, in the state of Michigan. But the radio stations have this we cannot defeat Detroit complex, where I think that an Ann Arbor radio station could just come along and blow Detroit right off the map, in our city anyway. But nobody has the guts to do it.
Let's check now with you, the listener, and find out what you think.
All the radio is doing right now is offering music. There's no hope for radio.
I wouldn't say there's no hope for radio. Look, I go way back to where I used to come home from school every day and listen to Vic and Sade and Jack Armstrong and all, but times are different. You don't want to hear those kind of things.
It's inconceivable to me that in a city as large as Detroit, there's no full-time classical station.
I started liking CKLW. I tend to listen to FM stations such as ABX and XYZ-FM. What I like about them is they play music without talking about it. No side comments. They just play music constantly. That's what I like about radio now.
People are driving along and they just hear a commercial or they hear a song they don't like, so they just push a button that they're used to pushing, and CK is one of them.
One thing that we've seen, hiring of the older disc jockeys that were more or less teen idols, if you're trying to follow the trend of the fact that people are getting older and are listening to the same people. You see this with Tom Shannon. You're seeing this with Dave Prince. You saw it with Lee Allen at WHFI.
From now until midnight in Detroit, WHFI Radio presents Lee Allen on the horn and $1 million worth of talent. Lee Allen on the horn from now until the very top of the clock at midnight in Detroit. Between now and then, we'll have some of the most fantastical round ones in this big old town. We'll have something old to play, something new in review, and a couple of things to say. You find even 30 seconds you like, we'll do it again tomorrow and call it the cream of the crop until 12 o'clock.
When I was just a little boy, my one and only joy was listening to that good old rock and roll. Anybody remember? We got a lot of those tonight.
There's a lot more to say about people and the radio stations making up the so-called middle-of-the-road music format in this city. We'll see it in the upcoming segment of Detroit Radio, then, now, and tomorrow.